Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, listening audience. Thank you for tuning in to Talk Straight and being a part of a national dialogue designed for proactive change. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. I'm grateful again to engage each and every one of you in very important conversation. I need your help as I endeavor to take this message and the conversation we share on air to targeted cities and urban areas across America with the hope and desire to improve the quality of lives by engaging communities and proactive strategies. You can be of great help by going to our webpage, www.bfcinstitute.com. Click on the donation tab or the contact us tab and find ways that you can assist us by either purchasing our items or just making a donation on our secure PayPal site. If you are a business or someone who would like to make a corporate level contribution and you would like more information, please give me a call at 615-498-4669 or send me an email at bfcinstitute@gmail.com. That's bfcinstitute@gmail.com, or give us a call at 615-498-4669. We are glad to share with you and provide you all the necessary information to help you make the decision to support us in our traveling lecture series.
Well, greetings and welcome to another episode of Talk Straight. It's your host, Reverend Dockery, and we're back again on, wow, could you believe it, another month, August 1st, 2023. Man, time flies, I tell you. And I'm not sure we're having all the fun we want to here. We're grateful for you to join us tonight. We had a really good discussion this past Tuesday. And this past Thursday, of course, we did a podcast for the business. I want to thank all of you that followed us over there to the Dockery Agency there. Of course, this is BFC Institute. This is our non-business end, our educational show. But and we open this up to the general public, the community, to talk about issues ranging from a number of things. But I said that to say that I appreciate those who, some individuals who are members here, joined us there as well. Grateful for you. Thank you very much. Hope you join us tonight. 563-999-3617. That's the number you can call to join a live conversation. 563-999-3617. All right. Had a good show last Tuesday and I had a topic that I was considering bringing tonight. Of course, you know that is a slightly different format, but I thought that we would keep for tonight the airways open, have general discussion. Good friend has joined us again out of Peoria, Illinois, and anyone else that want to join us, this gives you an opportunity to kind of drive the discussion a little bit more with our formal topic for the evening. I will give a monologue to provide some context, some background for what we were talking about. But the talks, the open mic, again, it provides for you, the listening audience, to really talk about what's on your heart. So tonight we decided we'll go ahead and go with that again. And I'm sure next week we'll have a topic, a designated topic that we'll be speaking from. Albeit, again, the number call is 563-999-3617. I want to apologize for some of the it looks like the podcast platform have some changes in terms of how we call in and how we receive information in their studio. And I have to adjust. I learned that I have to adjust to those, but I think we did doing okay. How you doing there, Peoria?
Yes, sir. I'm good. What about you? How you doing, sir? Can you hear me?
Great, great. I hear you well. I hope you can hear me better today than what we did last week.
Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yeah, I can. Yeah. I can. Sounds great.
I don't think you mind me telling this a little bit about him. This gentleman here is a studio production person. That's his background. That's what he does. So I got to be on my P's and Q's when this brother come around. I think we got it. I was just saying that it looks like there's some changes in the Blog Talk Radio platform here in terms of the audio. And I spent a little time trying to wrap my mind around it. But I think we got it now. I think we got it now. We'll keep going with this that we got here. So how's things going in Peoria, man? I was just not far from
I mean, Peoria is about, it's moving like the rest of America. About a snail pace, quicker than the rest of the world.
Yeah.
Slower than others, you know, faster than some, you know.
Yeah. Well, as I was driving, I was just thinking about the various places, man, and the driving force behind certain mentality, you know, and subsequently behavior that's associated with it. And I really believe good people. So this is your time. This is the listening audience time. And I'm happy to engage in a conversation. I'm just curious what you think. I noticed that a lot of different people are responding differently to things like the economy. One thing in particular, prices for basic things that you go to the grocery store for, bread, milk, egg, you know. And then they start placing blame on who's responsible for that. So what's your thought on that?
Right.
I know we got elections coming up.
Can you rephrase the question again? I hear what you're saying about, like, you know, inflation and everything, the pressure on the everyday family, but what is the question again?
Generally, the question is, do you think it's necessary or helpful to place blame on anybody, on a Republican or Democratic Party? Of course, Joe Biden is the president right now.
Are you asking me, do I think it's necessary to blame the government for the people's problems?
Is that
what you're asking me?
That I hear many people making reference to. It's harder for them to
absolutely
live.
Absolutely.
I guess he's absolutely. Like, wait a minute.
No, it's not even in the cocky sense. I just want to make sure I'm answering the right question the right way, because you can misinterpret.
Is he going crazy?
Yeah.
He's going crazy.
Because the truth is that, because that's what they elected themselves to be when they ran. When you run for a position and you ask the people to back you, that means you're going to back them. So when you lie to people and you don't deliver your end, when they deliver their end by giving you the support you needed to get into this elected position, which is elected by the people for the people and a representative of the people, you are in service. You're not here to just do a job. You're here to maintain order within people. People put their faith in you. Sometimes you're the last stop for people as a politician. Yes, it starts with all of you from the bottom local level of any judicial system, any rank and file, any city, any town, any state. It starts with your local electors. So we start there, and then it goes all the way up the totem pole to the president. Even though we know he's a sock puppet and can't do much for us, he's just a voice of the reason for the matters who really run it. But as an elected official, he has obligation to the people first versus the companies that lobby them. Obligation.
I got a question for you. I hear your point. And you're right. You jump in the hot seat, you better be ready to drive, right? Is that right?
Yeah.
You better be ready.
That's what I'm knowing. That's what I elect officials for.
Yeah. So, but now, honestly, let's be honest about it. It doesn't matter how large of a political race you're running or office you serve, even on the local alderman or councilmatic level, where there's a smaller number than on the state house or the state or the U.S. house or state senator, U.S. senator. The districts are bigger as you grow. But can one person really address the needs of all those lives? Is it realistically, or is it about the policies that they advance that can have broad positive effect to everybody? Because, see, sometimes, Lewis, look at it this way. Look at it this way. When we're growing up, we expect our parents to feed us, especially as little infants, feed us, clothe us, rock us, keep us safe, right? Then as we keep growing, we start walking and expanding our territory, right, and broaden our horizon. You go to school, you expect the teachers and the principal to do certain things. Or if you go to church, you expect the preacher. So now when you become adult, should you expect your elected official or politician to look out or think for your best interest, or should you be doing that yourself? Like, because it's kind of like you have
no. I hear exactly what you're saying. I hear where you're going with this, and I got you
okay,
too.
Okay.
Because,
yes, sir. Come on.
Yeah.
Come on.
Two sided answer. That's a double edged question. That deserves a double sided answer because a two headed snake need both sides. For one, because I hired you to do a job. I need you to do this for me. I don't need excuses. You work for me. And that's it. And as far as my parents go, at a certain point in time as a man, I do got to detach myself and be accountable for my actions and what I do. So how I choose to deal with these people that I hired to do a job for me becomes my responsibility. I think they should be fired. I start lobbying for them to be fired. That's it. And I mean, actions are in the individual hand because I can't speak for every man, but under my social, under my identity, under who I am in a tax ID number or EIN number, I'm responsible for these people that work under me or work for me or that I am responsible for, such as my kids, not employees, of course, they're dependents. But at the same time, I'm responsible for them. So me, as a monarch, if I let this criminal rob my family and I do nothing about it, I'm just as fought as a criminal or more because I did nothing to protect my family. So whether it's a sheep that wear a wolf coat or a wolf that wear a sheep coat, either way, I got to protect my family. Neither one of them scares me enough to back down.
Okay. Well, that's interesting you say that. You talked about the need for taking care of your family, all right? But now, in the context of a political precinct where you elect someone to represent you in office, and there's just one person. There's just one person, man. Is it realistic to think that they can make sure you and your people eat, or is that on you?
Yes. Yes. But look,
wait.
This is why. I'm going to cut you short right there because you said it. You said it. You elected this person. How many people does he represent? He don't represent one family. He got to make sure that is an equal opportunity for all of them. He doesn't work for one family. He works for every family in that district. So every family should have that same opportunity when they elect him. So, yes, he's obligated. Yes, he should be held accountable. And, yes, if his ass is under the gun, he should be held to the fire.
So let's say, for instance, the last race I ran, it was over 218,000 constituents. That's children, men, women, old and young. Okay? And that was representative of a number of households. I don't quite remember the exact number right now. Okay?
So head of household? You said children. So children don't vote, so they couldn't be counted in the census. So.
They
were counted in the census? Is that like your district? How many people was in your area?
Let me ask you a question. the Mexico. Yes, they're counted in the census. They can't vote, you're right, but they are counted as constituents.
Right.
In the census.
Okay, yeah, that's all I was getting to, yeah.
No,
you know, because they can't identify as Democrat or Republican or, you know, I'm not head of household, but I am somebody, you know.
I'm not really talking about that. I'm more speaking now of the represented households. Sometimes those households are headed, in fact, in many places, they're headed by single parents, females, many times. But sometimes there are two parents in the household. So they vary. But either way, this one person that's elected in a district of 200,000 people, is it realistic that they're going to make sure that all those people eat, or is there something else to it that we're missing in terms of the households taking advantage of resources and opportunities or creating
it? It sounds like you're saying logically there's no way for one man to care for 200,000 people.
But really,
I disagree because it's a systematic failure.
Come on, brother.
They got structure in place. That man has support. He has a whole support system and a team of people. We are in the year 2023 after the death of Christ. So this is not the beginning of time. It's not the end of it. Where we at in time is where they could make cars fly. They could lie to you and tell you they're going to the moon and back. Anything could be possible. So I know there's things, history, just time, evolution, and just coming from where civilization and people found out that there's a wheel that spins. Yes, there's a way to make this all possible. Do they want to? I think not, because control interest has a bigger hand in lying to you and telling you it's just not there, the resource is not there, that it's not there. But we got all these able-bodied people that they deny education every day. It's not there. The money's not there to learn, to sit in these classrooms and read these old books, or to get a laptop and sit there and study on the internet and get this password to this education. In America, it's not there. So the structure is not there, and it hasn't been. And you got to go back to where we came from, the totalitarian shit and dictatorship that we under. It's not about if you're a Democrat or a Republican. It's about are you a man or a wolf. These people don't care about that, man. They don't care if you got it or not. You could be a rich dummy, and it doesn't mean much. You'll put your money behind the people with the money because that's where you think you're safe at, even though they robbing you blunt to hang out with them. You didn't take your money and go back to where it was simple at and it was plain that and cheap to live. You went to where it was rich and fancy and going to cost you more every month to live. And then you wonder why you're stressed every day.
So you and I are dialoguing right now, and I want to encourage those that are on Facebook that are following us to give us a call, 563-999-3617. I take his point.
I challenge them to give us a call. You want to hear that? I'm going to change the narrative
now. Go ahead.
I challenge these people, whoever listening, whoever around the world, I challenge you to give us a call. And it's not even a challenge in the sense that we got a battle. I want to hear somebody else's thoughts too, because this is a community thing. This is a public outcry around the world. It shouldn't be a universal thing around the country, but it is. And not just this country, every country. It's a universal thing. It's a universal an equity process where our representatives don't represent us. Our politicians don't politic. The right politics, they politic things like kids and Pizzagate when they should be talking about infrastructure and advancement and education. It's to the point where they so comfortable with us being docile and brainwashed and whitewashed that they don't care what they tell you or sell you anymore. It just doesn't matter because to them, you have no power because, you, like you said, to go back to where you said, not to get off topic, the power of one. Your one representative tells you he doesn't have the power to represent 218,000 people. Then why did you run for office?
Great question. Stop right there.
You didn't have the power. Why did you run?
You're making a great point. Hold on one second. Hold on. You're making a good point. Thank you for that. That's where I wanted to come in. Because I was hearing you say or suggest that they are duty-bound to make sure that all of those households, clothing, shelter, eating, and basic needs for living. That's what I'm hearing you say.
When
now,
you pay your taxes, that's what you guarantee. When you vote for this person,
well,
that's what they guarantee you. That's what they're
right,
saying,
so,
that that's what they're lobbying for, even though it's not a guarantee because the guarantee is almost broken. But they lie to you and give you these falsehoods and do nothing for you. They come to your neighborhood just that one time, get elected, and never come back until next year or next election, I should say. Not even the next year, the next week or in 2 weeks to see that the things that they wrote into law got implemented because they care less about that. And that's why I'd say infrastructure. Why do the streets look like they look in private areas? All this money spent,
right.
All this blood.
So look. Most states, I think all of them, it's fair to say all of them, craft their constitutions around the preamble to the U.S. Constitution. You with me?
I'm glad you said that. Hey, make that clear for people that don't understand that. There's more than one constitution. Every state gets their own constitution.
Give me a second.
I'm sorry. I just wanted you to clarify that.
No. Give me a second. Let me set it up, and then let's talk about it. All right? So you made a great point about feeding people, making sure that that's what, when you're elected, that's for. Most states, every state have their own constitution. And the 10th Amendment guarantees them sovereignty, right? It says that the government cannot make a state.
What is sovereignty? Explain that. People don't know what that means. The definition of sovereignty.
I'm not going to go all off on Robert Hood Bond on it, but basically, just like it's inferred in the meaning, to be sovereign is to be self-independent and self-driven.
Right. Okay, that's all I wanted. I knew what it meant. But I wanted the people to
don't go. If, other than that, you can look it up. All right? But I want to make a point
that
each state has its own level of sovereignty, right? And you were talking about how the elected official is responsible for certain things. What do you say, 86-25? 86-25, what's up?
Hey, now what's that? They miss you, Pastor Cocker.
All right.
How you doing? How you
come
doing,
on, get
sir?
In there. Hey, Lewis is saying hello, there.
Hey there. Hey, how y'all doing? Hey there, St. Louis.
Good to hear from you.
In the house.
I'm just digging it up, man. Chopping it to him a little bit. I ain't hitting him too hard.
He beat me up, Pastor Wally.
Is that right?
But no, we have a good conversation.
Okay.
We have a good conversation.
So we were just talking about
it's open mic, Pastor. And for Luke, he's breaking down some. I was asking, if I ran for office and I represented 200 and over 200 some thousand people, can I realistically make sure all those people eat, get clothes, and can live the life they want? And Lewis was saying that's your job, to make sure everybody. And I came back with him with the preamble to the U.S. Constitution. So y'all bear with me just for a second. Let me read it, Luke. Let me read this little passage. So these were the nine things that the U.S. Constitution guaranteed every citizen. And see, your citizenship is established by whatever state you're a resident of. That's how your American citizenship is established. So check it out. We the people of the United States, all 50 of them, in order to form a more perfect union, one, establish justice, two, ensure domestic tranquility, three, provide for the common defense, four, promote, watch this, Lewis, the general welfare, five, and secure the blessings of liberty, six, to ourselves and posterity. So there are six aims. One of those is to provide or promote general welfare. Now, this is a question I got to ask you, Luke. You're going to be mad at me, but I'm going to ask, is my job as a representative of the government to provide welfare for you, then should I be able to come in your house, tell you what kind of food you can eat, what kind of clothes you can wear, what kind of social habits you can have? Do I have that?
Not at all. And I'm going to tell you what. I can stop you right
okay.
there. It's already,
on,
you already crossed the line. You already impeding on my First Amendment rights I got the right to free speech, and I got the right to fair belief. I could believe in anything I want to believe. You doing that could trample on any one of those things. You crossing my doorstep to tell me what I can eat and can't eat could go against my religious belief.
Okay.
You telling me what to do, I could tell you no. That's my freedom of speech.
But now you
and I do got
the
right to overthrow the government. But you're right. You dead on with those principles because that's the Constitution in its written form. And they didn't specify what man and what woman couldn't get or could not get.
I'm going to make Pastor Waller happy now. I'm going to bring him in the conversation. All right. So, Pastor, Timothy, 1 Timothy 5 and 8 says this. But if any provide not for his own, and especially those of his own house, that was Holy Ghost, he has denied the faith, then an infidel. Come on, Pastor Waller. See, it's not the elected official, the governor, the mayor, or the president, but it's the man of the house that got the priest. Is that right, Brother Pastor? Correct me if I'm wrong, man.
I'm actually thinking about how your rights can be stripped from you. That's a dangerous thing. And that's been going on for some time. And for far too long, they're trying to dictate a person's food that they eat and, you know, things that they do as a whole. You know, if a person is going down the wrong avenue, well, at least it's the wrong avenue. And instead, you got to do, it's appropriate to do something even if it's wrong. So one may look at that as saying, why would you want to do wrong? But if I don't know how to do right, the chances are I'm going to find out how to do wrong.
Don't mess up and do wrong.
It's a tough situation. And a lot of things that we get caught up into, as of myself, I can only say that. And even today, there was a guy that came out and he was talking and saying some things. Didn't even know me. But he found out that I was caught up into the thing by the way of my book. So he knew I had been into something. And first thing he said is who was responsible for it being out there. First thing he said, I didn't say
how did you feel about that? But when he said that to you, what did you feel? Like, how did you feel about that?
It was the truth. I knew it before he said it.
Like, I mean, cause I'm sorry. I'm sorry to interrupt you.
That's all right. But what I didn't know is that, he was talking about, you know, some things that he had just purchased the book, and he realized that I had been through some things. And he saw me, you know, he saw me handling the basketball, and the first thing he said was something positive about the Harlem Globetrotters. He said, oh, man, he said he should have been on the Globetrotters. Okay, that was it. And then I shared with him what happened to me and how I got caught up, and he ended up, you know, doing drugs real big and this and that and the other. So he automatically said, well, I know how that happened. You know,
you know,
I didn't put stuff out there. So what I'm saying is this.
Right.
Sometimes people can be put in a twist because someone calls it to take
place. Man, just shut up for a minute. That is deep.
And one
day, what you just said is what Iran-Contra in the 80s was and how they destroyed so many lives like that of our talented people. And I don't think history paid enough attention to that, that it was a systematic failure, man. We all got let down by it and blindsided by it, and everybody looking for hope turned to dope. And then they turned that same dope game that they sold us into a campaign against you. They use your kids against you. They train them in class. You see your parents doing drugs, you shame them. No, up and hope down with dope, brain on drugs. It was a whole campaign. It was a political campaign. The same people that you lobbied to put in office turned that money against you, robbed you for the money, never put it back in the schools, hooked your kids, introduced your kids to dope. Now your kids are on dope and don't know how to get off of it. They never gave them a remedy. They just introduced it to them and snatched it out of the schools, the DARE program. America should be... Everybody that's been elected in America since 1978 should be arrested.
Wait a minute.
I hear that's compassion there, bro. That's compassion speaking, bro. You know,
hey, I'm a kid from the 80s. I was born in 85. I live this shit. I'm a victim of it. If we ever want to get reparations, it should be for the children of the 80s.
Okay, hold on.
Yeah,
let
man.
Let's not, war. Lou, we're going to come back to that. Let Pastor Wallace finish what he was saying. You're going to lock me up, man. I ain't got no choice. Don't tell him you, man.
I told you I put all under the gun smoke, Pastor Wallace. I'll send him under the smoke for you guys.
Okay.
Yeah.
He was making a point. Let's let him finish that, wrap it up, and then we'll turn the floor back over to you. All right, go ahead, Pastor.
I give a little bit more of it. You know, it happened before the 80s, Brother Lewis, because it captured me before it got to you all. And that's the thing about how to do something to make it no longer exist. It's got to get to that point. Because, you know, if it's one person getting captured like that, that's too many. And in order to find out what to do about it, we have to find a solution. So where is the solution would be the question. And, you know, when you don't know how to do it, the solution, it could be right in front of your face, but it won't do you any good if you don't know how to utilize it.
Mm.
And that's the thing about
somebody. He's starting a dialect for it, at least. At least somebody is having, thank you, Unc, for that. At least we got a platform where I'm connecting with you guys from around the world, I mean, the country or the world. It could be anywhere. But we here. You know what we're talking about is, so when you start the dialogue, now we could start the healing process, because now we can actually take it. I could take it from you. Like you said, it didn't start in the 80s. It got to me before it got to you, you know. And for somebody like my uncle, who probably never even did drugs, been around drugs, drug addicts, probably never did it. It'll give him an insight, too, and people around the country, everybody come together. Then now we can systematically break down what happened to us and how they felt at all, how they turned the addict into the family against us all.
So, Louis, check this out. Your mom purchased one of his books, and she got to examine his head a little bit, if you will. That was the first book.
I remember when she received it. She was so excited when it came through the mail. I was there.
Yeah.
I was staying with her then.
Okay.
I remember.
She, right.
she loved it. She really did love it. She and I talked
about that, and she grew up, you know, on that same type of influence, right? So she was very familiar, and she's in his pretty much in his generation. So she was very familiar with a lot of things he was talking about. It wasn't in Nashville. It was in Illinois, you know.
Right.
But
the same
thing,
though. It's systematic. That's crazy how that is. You're thinking Tennessee and Illinois would be different.
No, it's not.
It's sad. We're talking about my mother, too. So.
Yeah. Well, and the point I'm trying to make is this, and that is there's a universality about this struggle, man. And it does feel back to what you and I were talking about. Who's responsible for making sure we're healthy, we're whole, we're full? You understand what I'm saying? We're on
isn't
the right
the,
track.
The movers and shakers, though, isn't that the politicians that you was talking about? Isn't that the job that they're supposed to do?
I would argue with you, Lewis, that ain't the politician. It ain't the governor. It ain't the mayor. It ain't the senator. It ain't the representative.
The people,
that's
the people. It starts with the people,
No. Listen. It's the household. I'll go back to 1 Timothy 5 and 8. If any provide not, who's supposed to provide for them? The father, the husband. Help me, Holy
Right.
Ghost. If any provide not
but
for
the
his.
He
listen,
already
Luke,
provides.
Luke,
it's not working.
Catch the text. If you provide not for your own, if nobody else, you ought to take care of your own. You bust that. Let me clean it up. If you make that baby, you better feed it. Doggone it.
Hey, so check this out. That wasn't what you know. That's not what you initially started off saying. You wasn't talking about the man in the household. You were talking about
the politician
and being responsible for
hold on one
you
second.
Said being responsible as a politician is his job to provide for 218,000 households. I said because he was elected.
Lewis,
he wasn't talking about
dad
at home.
Hold on one second, brother. Hold on one second. I asked the question, and this is for the benefit of the rest of the listening audience. I asked the initial question, should the person elected to represent a district and we threw out a number of over 200,000 people, should they be responsible for making sure that all 200,000 of those people eat, are healthy, and have what they need? And I'm saying to you now, no, that's not their job.
I get what you're saying. I agree. That's not solely their job.
But what I was saying at that time,
I wasn't saying that it's their job to feed the people. I was saying that it's their job to make sure that the people have access to the resources they need, what I was saying.
Okay.
Yeah,
that
is totally dependent on the man. But some of our society, as we know, there should be certain charities given for certain people who are behind the gun and need help. That's how we all strive as a community.
Yes,
if we keep them down, that's why I don't agree with the prison system as it is, because it doesn't teach people to be rehabilitated. It doesn't teach people to come back into society. It teaches people to be animals. It teaches people to be locked in with another man. Like, y'all got to use the restroom together. You're not teaching people how to transition into a social standing with a woman and a man in the union.
Okay, but let me say this. Let me finish this thought, and then I'm going to give it to you, because this is open mic. I'm supposed to be quiet and let y'all talk, you understand? But let's engage talk. Okay,
let's engage talk. Engage, Mike. We engage, Mike.
Okay, so I was just making a point. It's dangerous, Pastor Wallace, for any man to relinquish his authority and his right to provide for his own. Because if another dude is coming in your house feeding your wife and your children, pretty soon he's gonna put you out to bed. That dog will not hunt. You understand what I'm saying? He ain't got no business.
America did that already, though. I'm sorry, Pastor Wallace, and I'm sorry, Unc. I don't mean no disrespect. I know you called on him, but check this out. America did that already, man. It's called welfare as we know it today.
We know that.
They've been did that.
We know that.
So we got to get past that. Let's get to how we get the dad back in the bedroom and the kids back under the roof with the mom and dad. And then you got a two-income household. The women need to quit being so... They're not independent, because what they did was trade my Uncle Sam for Uncle Sam.
My Uncle Sam
got traded for an Uncle Sam that don't give a damn about them kids or this woman.
Okay,
he don't even show
up
that night.
No, keep cleaning it up for me. Try to keep your language clean.
They replaced the man already. The man is gone. It's seven women out here per man. They don't kids are already born. They jumping from man to man because they can't have any lasting relationships. They already structured. Their grandmother, once their society took grandpa out the picture, my grandfather, he became a rolling stone. He can't stay too long with one woman. That's why so many of y'all. And I never got to know him because he was a rolling stone. So let's get to now. I'm talking about my life in a systematic standpoint. I meet you a year and a half ago because you're my uncle by DNA. This is the structure that America set in play for us, even though my grandfather is a prophet. Imagine, not all grandfathers are prophets.
Can I say something?
You just said you're my uncle. You got every right.
I don't care what anyone else thinks or desires for me or say or do. You may sneak up on me. You may sneak up on me and fool me once, but doggone, I'd be darned if I let you fool me twice. Okay? And my point is this. You were right. Pastor Waller will tell you, for the last 7 years, we have established the fact that, yes, the system has broken up the family, has taken over the authority of the man in the home structure in a tremendous way, and have caused many instigations. Have we not established that, Pastor Waller, in the last 7 years right here on Talk Straight? Is that right, Pastor?
It has been. Yes, it has been.
So now that both of y'all agree to that. Now that both of y'all agree. Was that a political structure that put that in order?
Hold on one second.
Yes, it was.
Let Pastor talk for a second. Go ahead, Pastor. Go ahead and break it down.
It was. It was. I mean, it was the intent. I mean, how can you bring forth anything that could bring forth harm if you don't do something that causes harm? And yes, that was intentional. It's like me playing ball. You know, if I need a turnover and I make a play to get the ball out of your hand, then that's what I'm supposed to do. If I didn't know that that was coming, then it worked. But if we had defense for it, of course it wouldn't have happened because we had a defense for it.
So even in the sports, what you just described was a coup. What you just described was a coup. You just described a coup, whether it's in sports or whether it's in politics or whether it's in war, it's a coup. It's an underlay for the overplay. They overplayed it.
Yeah.
They kicked the man out, took advantage of the woman, and took your kids. And they've been having grips on your kids since the 60s. Since y'all sold them out. And they keep them, they got them now to the point where now with the gizmos and gadgets, these cell phones and everything else, it's hard for y'all to get them back. And that's the problem, because now parents don't know how to parent. The police did this. The white man did this. It's not white in the sense of skin tone. It's white in color. The crime is blue. It's not being black. You all in America, you all enslaved because you pay attention to the political side instead of the real national side. The side is that people decide. But people decide to listen to the news, too, and they get brainwashed by the news, and they get brainwashed by the commentary, and they get wrapped in the laws that get passed at 12 o'clock that they don't read because they're not privileged, because they're secret, and they this and that. And when you got a secret government overshadowing the public, it will always lead to mistrust. It will always lead to somebody going to steal a fraction of a cent that's going to throw the economy off.
All right. Let
we talking real. Let's talk about how it affects you economically when your political representation exploits you and sells you all out for political gain. For political gain turns to economic gain. He can go to Barbados. He can ship all the money, because the father that you talking about that got replaced out of that house, he was creating wealth in that house. The woman didn't even have to leave the house. She was good when the times was good. Whether you was black, Indian, we work harder than anybody. We prove that through history. We don't even have to talk about it. The truth about it all is that when they replaced the black man out the house, they took the taxes out the house, and so did the social benefits. And now they call them communists and socialists. This is your generation. I wasn't even alive, but I understand history as it lies on its head because I study. I understand that the past still matters, even in my future, for my future.
All right, let me get in here for a second. We've been around long enough to know what you're talking about, because I certainly have, and I know Pastor Wallace lived a lot of what you're making reference to, okay? And your point is well taken. But I just wanted you to hear a perspective from some people who literally walk this walk that you're talking about.
I hear you. I'm sorry. I don't mean to be disrespectful to you guys, like what y'all did didn't matter.
He fired up. And I'm glad you are
Man. I want this better for my kids.
We're going to get that, Luke. And that's, I'm going to tell you something. I've been busy, Louis. And you know that the show was off for a little while because I've been so busy, but this is so important.
Right.
I'm trying to keep platform alive so brothers like you can have a place to vent, to talk,
to learn. I try to make it today.
You may not make it every Tuesday night, but I want it here for as much as we can, as best we can. Pastor Wallace and I talked about that. As much as we can, we want to try to keep this thing alive as a venue. Because brothers don't have this enough, Louis. Interesting, Pastor. It's interesting.
And it gets bigger. It gets greater, too. It gets greater. Soon enough, we'll captivate majority of them. But it's got to start somewhere.
Hold on one second. Let me fix this up. He's a part of the generation, Pastor, that is right behind us. That I would argue, Pastor Waller, as a whole, we dropped the ball, man. We did not properly educate and prepare them coming in 2023. And this is why he's screaming and hollering like he is, because he feels the pain right now. So let me let Pastor finish out there, Lewis, in this next 15 minutes we got, and we'll chop it up some more. All right, Pastor, what were you saying? We're talking about you're essentially saying what Lewis is saying. You were giving details to some of what was going on relative to loss of control and autonomy as a man in the household. All right, but Pastor, go ahead.
Yeah, well, what's going on? It was a young man that that was behind me, that was coming up watching me. And I'm going to go back to use one of the most powerful tools that I had in the community was a basketball. So everybody watching how I play, I can't see nothing. I'm a doer. And so when my life changed after all the destruction that I went through and from all the way I displayed the lifestyle, everybody was attracted to it for the most part. 80% of the people in the community was attracted to what I was doing. Now, what I'm getting ready to say is that this is where the joy came in at. The guy bought a book from me, and he looked at me, and he said, you are the reason why, and he said it out of love. He said, you are the reason why that we got caught up. He said, you didn't lead us. In other words, they were saying I should have went on with a professional basketball player. Not that that's everything, but that's what they saw in me. But then they seen the other side. They got me captured. They knew it wasn't my fault, but yet still, they believe in me so much today.
Yeah. You let them down, man, and they turned to it. Like, my hero fell.
Listen to this part. They're looking. They're watching.
Yeah, I'm listening. I'm sorry, Pastor Wallace.
Okay, listen, and they see that it's hope now. They know that it's hope, and they knew it was none of my fault. They realized that it was a trap that I got caught in, and I was able to maneuver through it, but I got away from it, so I escaped. So now it's hope here. That's why I say it can be done, and it's being worked on as we speak. So be encouraged and know that it's not over for us. We have endured a lot of things for a lot of years from our ancestors on back further. But we're still standing. So I just want you to know, brother, I feel the pain that you're talking about, but we do have hope right now.
Bottom of my heart, I say this to you, Pastor Wallace, directly to you. Thank you for that will, because that's it, man. That was it. That's all we wanted, some acknowledgement, man. Like, it ain't that y'all dropped the ball. We know y'all tried your hardest, y'all generations, you know. And as a young man, from one man to the next, I got to apologize for every young man. We don't mean to let y'all down, but the system itself failed us, man. All of us. It started with y'all, but it ended with us, you know. And hopefully it ends with us. It hasn't ended yet. It's still perpetuating itself, and they pulling every trick out the book to get the little ones. And that's the saddest part about this all, is that it ain't in it, but we doing what we got to do. We waking up every day, and we fighting back. And it might not be a lot of us yet, but it's many of us, you know. And so for that, I'm grateful. And I appreciate people like you that can correct me, because, like I said, I wasn't there, but I know I studied the back history, because this all came from somewhere. Like, it didn't just leave. I was born one day, but the day before happened too, you know.
It's gonna be all right.
So what happened the day before I was born? You know, September 15, 1985. I was born the 16th, so I didn't really have a plan on the 15th. You know, I was just trying to make it to the 16th. My day wasn't until the next day. So you know what happened? I know kind of some of what happened. I know this. I know that they was trying to kill a mob boss, and they did it 3 months later to the day. And they killed Marcellus or whatever. They killed the mob boss 3 months later. They start planning that a day before my birthday. I know that happened. And that's crazy because we identify with American crime. That's my next point, is that people of my generation lost faith in y'all. And then we fell to the crime, same crime y'all fell victim of. We tried to become the best, because when you fail the drugs, your son, if you got one, your nephew, any young male in your life, that male that was in that store, he watched you diminish, because then he was like, damn, I don't want to become that. I don't want to lose my talent. I don't want to become I don't want to become the guy. So I, now what I got to do to change the narrative is become the dealer. If I control the drugs, I won't be addicted to them, which is a lie, because it's all a trap anyway. All we need you to do is entertain the thought, and we got you. That's how the prison system works. It's a slave ship for the slaves. I mean, once you cross the line with the 14th Amendment, there ain't no going back. Once they got their hands on you, you're a warden of the state. Back to what Unc said. In these states, they got a constitution. And if you don't know them, they don't care if you don't know it. They bank on that you don't know it. That's where they get their money at. If you don't know the first constitution of the United States, but you definitely don't know that your first constitution is the state that you are a citizen of, and if you move a state, you need to learn the constitution of that state and the bylaws of that state, because that's what you are obligating yourself to when you become a citizen. That means that you promise to uphold those values and their laws and their rules and traditions.
Brother Lewis?
Yes, sir.
You just gave me the topic for next week. And I had another topic. I'm listening to you real close. I'm listening to you real, real good.
I love it, man. I'm glad you are, though, because I hope it matters to somebody.
Next
even
week,
if it's just one person, you know.
It's painful.
Thank you for that, though. That makes me feel proud. That gives me something to look forward to, because I can't wait to hear what it is. Don't even tell me yet.
Well,
just surprise me.
And I'm gonna see if I can get some other young brothers to come join us. But we'll do the more the merrier, man. But listen to me. This is what we'll do. You said something powerful. You talked about crossing the line of the 13th Amendment. I'm going to say it like this. The ghetto line, which is the 13th Amendment. Uh-oh.
Right. Yeah. That's exactly what it was designed for, because that's what it was.
Listen, it was only voted into history for that reason. Look, the rich and the poor. Some would argue that it set slaves free. Others would argue that it established a line that if
it enslaved every man that wasn't already mentally free. If you're not mentally free, you'll never be free because of the 13th Amendment.
Pastor Wally, you see where we're going? We're going to drop it like it's hot next week. We're going to drop it like it's hot. The 13th Amendment.
That's all
right. And look,
hey,
Lewis,
you know what every city got? You know what every city has in common?
What? A ghetto land.
A ghetto. Every city, not suburbia. Every city, not every town. Every city has a ghetto.
And it's usually on the south side of the town.
The south side of every town is the worst side of every town.
No, here in Nashville, the north side was pretty rough, and the east side too. And the west side, that's where Pastor Waller got down back then.
But you're in the south, though. The south got a lot of pride down there. I don't know about that.
We're going to talk about it.
The south side might be the best side in the south. I ain't going to go there every day, man. I'll take y'all pride serious in the south.
You just like Lil Kiki talking about South Side.
I ain't Lil Kiki, man. I'm a Northerner. I'm more like Northern beings. I'm like Midwestern.
All right.
I'm like Chicago.
All right, we got about six minutes. Good conversation.
Yeah, it was a great conversation today, though.
Yes, sir. I hope our listening audience was able to follow your line of thought. And I'll wrap it up like this. What we were talking about is the difference between the government being represented by is someone that was voted in the office, controlling or providing, the difference between that and every individual being able to be autonomous as the head of their own household and provide the quality of life, spiritual guidance, wholesomeness, everything that children need to grow up and why. Now, what that requires is that people got to be in agreement on that. You've got to agree to have a family, to have a husband, a wife, a mother, father, that are giving promise to children. Everybody is not in agreement on that now. You know, there are some people who feel like their family is their dog and their cat. okay, this is America. I respect that. But, you know, if we're going to talk about what was intended by the word of God, let's consider that for a second. I don't mind having no dog or cat, you know. And you need somebody to kick around the house if you can't kick nobody else. So, I mean, hey, what are you going to say? But look, Lewis, give me a final thought before I turn it over to Pastor Wallace.
With the conversation of today, man, I just think my final thought would be that we are blessed people, and I think that we got a lot coming ahead of us, and we really need to unify and really start thinking how we could transition this together, because the system itself failed all around the board. So if we're going to really talk about constitutional rights, we need to really break the Constitution down and hold these people to their promise, or don't elect them. So that'd be my final thought. Don't elect people that don't work for you or believe your belief.
Wow. Good point, man. Good point. That is a powerful point there. Thank you. Thank you for that.
Thank you.
Well, if you will, thank you again for joining us. If you will, hold tight. Pastor Wallace is going to wrap us up for tonight. We'll bring this episode to a close. You've been listening to Talk Straight. And Brother Lou from Peoria, Illinois, all the way out of the P, the big P there, Peoria, Illinois. He's joined us tonight. Great conversation, man. We appreciate you. And we hope somebody will be able to take some away from this. All right, Pastor Wallace, go ahead, big brother. Take us home, man.
Yeah, it's been great. It's been a great conversation. I appreciate Brother Lewis and Pastor Dockery. And for those who are listening, it's something about when you're walking in power. So we have to always keep in mind to always walk in expectancy when it comes down to things that we stand in the need of. And the good part about that is that I didn't hear him say he'll supply all of our wants, but the word said he will supply all of our needs. And what we need is unity, we need togetherness, we need power, we need love. But most of all, we need to put God first. When we put him first, this is what happened for me. When I put him first, he gave me something that I didn't know. And that is, I believed that he was going to help me work out what I stood in the need of, and that was change. And the way I got it was with Luke chapter 1, verse 37. It says, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. We can change things, Brother Lewis, because if we hook up with God and he'll show us that we believe in him, he'll give us the necessary things that we stand in the need of. The one thing he knows that we know when the people come in and get elected and they talk all that talk, he gave me knowledge of that. He said, Ricky, he said, action speak louder than words. So make sure you're holding to the fire. And say, if there ain't no action to it, see you later. And you got to get rid of it just like that. That's just the way it goes. On your job, if you ain't applying action, then you cannot be there anymore. And that's the same way it should be with the politicians and things like that, as you were talking about, Brother Lewis. So hang in there. God got what we stand in need of. Let's just get with him and let him show us what it's like to believe in him and learn what it's like to say it's time for action, because he is the Lord God of knowledge, and by him, actions are weighed. He weigh up actions. He don't weigh up just talk. He going to actions behind the talk. And that's why I fight like I do for my community. So appreciate what you said, man. I felt the pain.
All right. Well, with that, we thank you.
All right, Pastor Doctor.
We're going to exit with Albertina Walker. He looked beyond my fault and saw my need. Listen to what she said. My song. My.
For it was grace that brought my liberty.
Hey, girl.
I do not know why Jesus came to love me so.
Me either, I don't know.
He looked beyond my thoughts
And his
and so money.
Yeah, yeah. We gotta go. I see y'all next Tuesday. I see y'all next Tuesday. My love.
All right, now. All right, now.